As Jared mentioned, large tech stocks seeing a bit of a bounce back today, but it has been a tough go in the space for this month. The NASDAQ 100 down about 5.3% in September. Let's bring in Brent Thill. He's Jefferies analyst. Brent, you know, we've heard some of the tech bulls saying that, you know, tech benefits in times of inflation, that things could be turning around for some of these large cap tech names. What do you see that you like?
I mean, we continue to like the mega cap names, Microsoft, Google, Facebook. We continue to believe, you know, that these are durable stories that continue to produce, you know, 15 to 20% top line growth and improving margins. And we don't believe that they're super expensive. If you look at the case of Google, you know, mid-teen EBITDA with EBITDA growing in the high teens. If you look at Microsoft, continuing to grind out, you know, double-digit growth, steady margin improvement, buying, you know, $60 billion stock back, just a very consistent story. So I think ultimately the large mega caps are really exciting. I think the areas to be concerned about are, you know, some of these high flyers are trading at 30 to 50 times revenue in software. And those names, you know, probably never deserve to be there. And there's multiple contraction that can happen. So it's not an even playing field as it relates to kind of our recommendations. I think ultimately, you know, we've seen these scares before. You said, hey, it's having a tough month. Well, look at the year to date. The year to date's been incredible. You wanted to be overweight. You wanted to be overweight this group for many years. So, like, I think people are being too myopic and looking at the last month and saying, oh, you know, the group's been a troubled. I mean, yes, in the last month, given the magnitude of the outperformance, but the reason why they're pulling back is they've had massive outperformance.
Yeah, I was thinking back to the last time we had you on and talking about kind of the long-term opportunity in big tech, and obviously was thinking of you when we saw some of the pullbacks, but you're right in that, you know, if you zoom out and look at the screen and kind of look at performance, it's tough to even see one of those little pullbacks in the long-term run-up. But when you look at some of these company-specific opportunities, interesting to see you talking about Snap being one of the best growth ideas, because you might think about that as this Facebook hearing's ongoing, another one of those ad-levered plays that could see significant upside. Talk to me about why you like that name, particularly when it comes to maybe ad spend.
We think Snap has done a really nice job at diversifying their business, right? You know, a few years ago, I think we all looked at it as a messaging app. And now they've really done a really nice job of creating these multiple engines of growth on video games. You look at the map, the Snap map, it has created this incredible canvas for advertisers to advertise on. And, you know, we've used this example. If, you know, you're a group of kids and you leave high school at 3, and you walk down the street, you know, the local ice cream place or the local, you know, even Whole Foods could flash an ad and say, hey, come on in for, you know, for a snack and we'll give you, you know, a free drink. So this ability for advertisers to capture the younger audience is incredible. And so our work among the teens and in younger generation, you know, Snap has become more important in their life as the world is reopened. They're using Snap to find their friends, discover experiences, share their experiences. And advertisers love this because it's a dedicated, hardcore audience where, you know, these individuals are opening the app, you know, 20 to 30 times a day. They're not looking at it once, you know, they're not looking at their Instagram once a day before they go to bed. They're looking at it consistently as the way that they run their life. And it's scary for a parent. And I have 3 that are on this platform, but you see what they're able to kind of achieve and the ability to engage from the other side is tremendous. They've talked about a 50% sustainable top line growth story. And we think about the long term of the metaverse, which, you know, is this new next generation of the internet. We think Snap probably has the best showing so far of what the metaverse could look like. So if you're Paul Ralph Lauren or you're some other advertiser and you want to be able to virtually, you know, try close on to the consumer side, you can do that now with these dynamic ads and this concept of what they're doing with a lot of their great, you know, pieces of their infrastructure. So we see an exciting road ahead for them that's sustainable. It's an expensive stock. It's performed very well, but when you think about where the world is going on the metaverse, I mean, Snap is way ahead of, I think, anyone else that we cover on the internet side.
Brent, you mentioned concerns you have as a parent to kids who are on some of these platforms. You've got a Senate hearing that's happening right now around the findings in that Wall Street Journal report that essentially pointed to the fact that Facebook knew the mental health impact Instagram was having, especially on young teenagers. I know these hearings, any kind of regulatory headlines haven't necessarily moved the stock, but I wonder, you know, what will... Like, what would it take for you to change your view on that? I mean, why do you think that investors have sort of just taken a seat back, a backseat on some of these issues while lawmakers sort of debate the back and forth over in Washington?
I don't think we've taken a backseat. I think it's been reflected in the valuation. So Facebook trades at a discount. I think, of course, everyone inside Facebook knows the issues to children. I mean, they're smart people that work there. So I think they're all voicing what's the obvious, which is we don't want to let our children and the young ones on these platforms in a way where it's just open-ended. They have to put the right, you know, fences around. You know, it's like when you log into Netflix, you know, and you try to pull up even things like School of Rock. If you're 9, you can't watch School of Rock if you're logged in as a younger kid. And that happened to us a couple nights ago when we tried to watch it. So even Netflix has put, you know, parameters in of what you can watch, not watch. So I think ultimately this is all it is lock down what they shouldn't see, give them access. It's healthy, in my opinion, for certain ways and how to use the application. And so I think there's great ways that these technologies can be used for the young audience. They just have to gear it correctly. And I think this concept of, hey, they knew it was unhealthy. Of course they know it's unhealthy. That the press is just grabbing to that one thing. What they're trying to do, and I think what they'll figure out, is how to make this a way where it's constructive and healthy. There's a lot of learning. There's a lot of collaboration. There's a lot of things you can do with your family. There's a lot of things that the younger audience can do with this platform. It's just ensuring that they've got it dialed in. And I think they will figure that out as they move forward. There's been multiple regulatory concerns, and we've been saying this for years. Anytime there's a regulatory scare, you buy the stock. And I don't want to dismiss these issues, but if you're an investor, every time there's a scare and you bought, go look at the chart. You made a lot of money.
Yeah, again, I love having you on to stress the long-term look at some of these things, but I'll also shout out any attempt to watch School of Rock again. Shout out Jack Black. Strong, strong movie choice there. Haven't watched it in a while. Brent Thill, appreciate you coming on here to chat, though, man. We're going to have you back soon. Jefferies analyst, love having you.